plenty of food. Yosef had a little food. And they came to Yosef. So he said like this. He says, yeah. So first they came to Paro. He said, they could buy. They could buy grain. He allowed them to buy grain. So they all bought grain. But then it says, Vayitam HaKesef, Meretz Yisrael, Meretz Canaan. That was after a while. I mean, there was no more money. You know? So the average person, he saves for a rainy day, but not a storm, not a hurricane. So eventually they ran out of money. They had no money. So they came to Yosef. They said, what's going to happen? We're going to die. So Yosef said, just a minute. You don't have any cash? All right. We'll take cattle. Take shove a kesef to kesef. We'll take anything you have. So they said, okay, that's fair. So they gave the cattle. So finally it says, Vatitom Ashonahi, and Vainalim Balachim Bachomiknaim Bashonahi. So he gave them food because of the cattle that they gave him that year. Vatitom Ashonahi Vaivola Vashonashini. So we'll learn the Chachamei Adoni. Kim Tama Kesefum Miknei Abhema Adoni. Lo nishal lefnei Adoni bilti in v'yaseinu v'atmaseinu. The only thing we have left is our lands and our lives. Lomo namos leinecha, gam anachmi amaseinu. Kinei osonu v'esadmaseinu balochem. Buy our lands and buy us with bread. The same there, v'nichmi levomu, so adon l'aseishim. So what did Yosef do? So they were ready really to sell themselves. Not just the land, but they were ready to give the land and themselves. As avodim. Okay, because they said they're going to die. So Yosef said like this. So Yosef said, okay. He said, I'll take the land. I'm not going to take it. I don't need you as a woman. Take the land. Okay. So immediately, he reduced from what they even wanted. They were willing to give themselves. But Yosef was a chacham. He knew that a person's willing, but he's desperate now. He's willing. But if you take him up on it, he's going to hate you for it later. So he said,
cost him more than
right. So he took all the land, and he said, "You can keep your freedom." But he said to them like this: He said, "Hein kanis yeshami elas ad masma far." It didn't mean as a vodim. Unfortunately, everything was. This really is. V'haya batfus and asatam chamishis lefaro. You should give 1/5 to paro. V'arba yada siyul lachem lezera asad lochem lashev v'atechem. I'm sorry. Before that, it's like this. That's on heavy Rosal or Mitzvah Mitzrayim Vatkatzel. So when they sold the land, so Yosef was worried over it. They said, "Okay, the land belongs to Paro now." Yeah, but it's very nice to say. But meantime, everybody goes back to his house and he has his property. He says, "This is a joke. It doesn't belong to Paro. I'm living the same way I did until now." People don't believe things unless they see a change. So he made them move from one end of Mitzrayim to the other end. So they lose their emotional attachment to the land. They realize this is not fair. Made a deal, okay, but it's very dangerous when a person makes a deal and you allow the other person to walk around thinking that the deal wasn't made, because in his life nothing changed. So he moved them around from one place to the other. Then what did he do? Then the next thing was like this. Then he said to them, okay, work the land and just give 20% to Paro. Now the truth of the matter is, like the Mepharshim say, that they're like sharecroppers, basically. Sharecroppers usually get the lower half, less. But he gave them not even half. He gave them 80%. So this way, they were overjoyed. You see, it says, "Vayomru hecha yisano nimtochein beini adoni v'niyah avodim lefaro." They're even willing to make themselves into avodim. So Yosef worked out a system where he was able to achieve his desired goal, taxation, but in a way that the people were overjoyed with it. That's a... why did he do it? Why did he do it that way? Because he knew one premise. He knew that even though people are good emotionally, but there's no concept of fairness. Real fairness doesn't exist among people on an emotional level. And therefore, no matter what kind of a fair deal we work out, people are going to be upset. They're going to be upset, and you can't have the country in a state where the subjects are angry, grumbling. They're angry, so therefore he worked it out in such a way that it's impossible for them to say that it's not fair. They deserve less than half. and they're getting 80%. It's just, he knew that the that you have to reach a point where it's so clear that they're getting the fairer share that it's impossible to be grumbled. It's based upon the idea that he recognized the concept that there's, on an emotional plane, there's no such thing as justice. Real justice is only an intellectual phenomenon. Emotional plane doesn't work. There were some system in which power had money, some taxation system, but he levied a new system of tax at 20%, which they never had, on everything they grew. Maybe a completely new taxation system. It wasn't the same thing as existed before. Yeah, time poverty, right? That's right. That's right. Well, besides the old system that always existed. That's right. Your richest man is led by Rechavam. Rechavam is Rechavam got thrown out because of that reason. Yeah, he started loving Texas.
Yeah,
he said, my father was nice to you. I'm going to be worse. Okay, Yosef's objective, of course, Yosef's objective was not totally from Mitzrayim. Not totally from Mitzrayim. It was really for himself and his family. That's right, because that's why he wanted Mila, that they shouldn't be different. He wanted to institute Mila, instituted Mila Mitzrayim, that he and his family shouldn't be different. And also he wanted them removed from the land, because people who live on land have a lot of arrogance, because they've been living there for centuries, they feel, and then they look at a stranger, and they look down at a stranger. So he wanted to remove that from them. That was his objective, really. That's why he did it. Okay. Right. I mean, he was looking for his own for his own benefit, for the benefit of Klal Yisrael.
Yeah, the benefit of
same time, at the same time. Just like when he told Paro, he said in the dream, he says, "Va'ata yera Paro ish novon v'chacham." Why did he say that? Because the Chatumah were waiting outside to take over. As soon as he gave the ideas, he said, "No, just a second. You're not going to get any rid of that. What you need is a Novon V'Chacham. You don't need any mystics here." You see? So the Ramban says, when he said that, he knew very well that Paro is going to say, "You're the man." He was setting himself up. There's another thing I want to take up. And I think it reflects on the idea we mentioned before about the Holocaust. How a person should look at the Holocaust. An interesting thing. It says in the parsha, in the end of Vayeshev, it says, the end of parsha Vayeshev, it says, when Yosef interpreted the dreams for the prisoners, Samashkim and the Sarofim. Okay? So then, it was the third day, everything occurred exactly as he predicted. But then the pasuk says, V'lo zocha Samashkim es Yosef, Vayeshkecheya. Samashkim didn't remember Yosef, and he forgot him. And then, like, he mikach nasayim yomim is the next parsha, which means he had to wait 2 years. He had to wait 2 years because of the fact, Chazal say. So, claim shot is, that's it. He forgot him. He's a regular ingrate, and he forgot him, and that was it. But Chazal say something more. Chazal say, v'lo zocha sa'amashkin es Yosef, v'yish kocheyu, that over here Yosef, Yosef committed an avera, serious avera. Says Vayishkachei Olach Mekam. Neshe Tola Bo Yosef was Zochra. Since Yosef depended on him to remember him, Huskakuyos Osir Shteishan. He had to remain in prison for 2 years. Shenemar Asher Agever Asher Soma Hashem Iftacho, V'lo Ponel Rohovim, V'lo Botach Hamitzrayim Akrim Rav. So Chazal say that it was an onus, it was a punishment because of the fact that he relied, he put his faith in the Sarah Mashkin. That's why he had to wait in jail, he had to wait in the bar, in the pit, in the dungeon for 2 more years. Okay, yeah. The difficulty is that where do you see that Yosef really did commit a chet? And I think if we understand this, we'll have a different idea. Come back to Rambam, but a different idea of what exactly it means when there's a gzeirah from God about a person. Okay? Because here, everybody learns Pashut. He had faith in the Sar Mashkim, so it was a gzeirah from HaKadosh Baruch Hu that he's going to have to wait there for 2 more years. And I say that really that's a very simplistic evaluation. Not so, it doesn't work so partially. Not simply we did a chait and now it was a gzera. There's a lot more to it. Let's see maybe what the idea of a gzera is. Alright, so the question is what was the chait? Wherein lies the chait? What did he do wrong? Basically, a person is supposed to use all diplomatic means that at his disposal in order to accomplish something that's good for himself. The Torah endorses that. And Yaakov went to Esav and he bowed down before him and he gave him his present. I mean, what could be more than that? Yishtachu atzah, shel apamim, 7 times, agishto arochiv. So that's not a concession to a basar adam. So what's the, that was the right thing to do. Why? Because that was a chokhmah. He prepared himself to kill a darn chokhmah. It's daring. You have to be diplomatic. So what was wrong over here? He just interpreted the dream and he told him what he says. Please, kim zchatan yitchok asher yitavach. Vasi sori modi chesed. What's a sign of a bias as that? I did you a tremendous favor. You see what type of person I am. So you're going to go out now. So tell Paro about me. And it's unjust that I'm here. What was wrong? What was wrong? Yeah. Of course, I mean, you can answer this b'derech Musa. Because the Bali Musa say, the Chazal that says that Yaakov was Nenash, was Dina, because he put her in a box when Esav came to meet him. He didn't want Esav to see her, because, So Chazal say he was Nenash, because that was the story of Dina. So Bali Musa ask, they say, what was wrong? Who would want their daughter? What kind of a shidduch is this? Esav or Russia? So the Bali Musa say, he put him in the box, but he clapped too hard on the floor. Closed it too hard. After they mussed the hair. The hair. Close it. Clap. The clap. That's because then that came from the center. See? That's the extra clap. That's what Bali must. So you can say the same thing by Yezel also. That is true. We told them, yeah, but there's a little bit too much there. Yeah, but I'm not satisfied with that kind of an answer. I mean, I like to see the answer from the mice itself. I'll tell you why. Because even if you're going to say that, I mean, all right. I mean, so you could say that it's wrong, but to do that. But where do we see? I mean, there has to be some kind of a remez at least. For such an idea. I mean, where do you see that? Something in the Maisaver, just the Torah tells you this. I mean, where do you know? There has to be some kind of expression in the Maisa itself. All right? Yeah, in the story itself. I mean, because it's derived from Psukim. See, I think like this. I don't know if you'll agree with me, but let me just present here my opinion. I think like this. I think that the mistake was, what was the mistake? I think if Yosef would have thought it over properly, he shouldn't have said anything. There was no reason for him to say anything. No reason for him to say anything. Because of the fact that here he did an unbelievable feat, something that they were astounded by. And the Sarah Mashkin would remember. You don't have to tell him anything. His mistake was that he spoke to him. There was no reason, rationally speaking, from a standpoint of diplomacy, there's no reason for him to say a word. You accomplished something now. Quiet, don't say anything. If he's not going to be impressed, if he's not going to be impressed with your accomplishment, he's not going to be impressed with your entreaties. Your pleading is not going to help. Now, you take a look further, you'll see that everything he said was no good. Why? Because what did he say then? He said, you know, basically, what gave me the idea was the Tirgum Yonasan ben Azir. I don't know, I still can't say exactly how I got it from there, but the Lashon of the Tirgum Yonasan ben Azir. And the Tirgum Yerushalmi more than Yonasan ben Azir, expands on Yonasan ben Azir, he says like this. He says, Yerushalmi says like this, Shivak Yosef Chizda de la'el. Yosef abandoned the chesed of above. Bechizda de la'ra, for the chesed, the lower chesed, means the bus of Adam. The chizda de la'va yasei mi baisei de ovoi. And he abandoned the chesed accompanied him from the house of his father. The Israchatz Barav Mizagaya, and he put his faith in the Rav and the Sar Mashkin. Bivsar Ovid. Sar Ovid means made flesh. Uvisar Tom Kasa Damosa. And flesh that tastes that tastes death. It means to say, the Pasuk says, Tizkum Shainless Yeshua, kill him, Tate Rucha Yoshivad Masa. And he didn't remember the pasuk that says openly, "Lit yehave gavra the yisrachitz bevisra, the yishave bisra chatzoi." Cursed is the one who has faith in basar and man. Uverich yeh gavra the yisrachitz b'shem, name of Hashem. What does it mean? I mean, that pasuk didn't exist in time yesterday. What it means, the idea, of course, because all in the neviim is all min hashemayim. It's all tarmin hashemayim. It's all the ideas are there, but it wasn't written down until later. So that's what he says. He forgot that idea. He says, "Min begin kein lo itka rav mizogaya yas yosef va'anshe yosef adzman dimota kitze l'misparka." Until the time came to be. What does it mean? What it means is that, how do you see it? Take a look at what he said. And as I said before, he shouldn't have said anything. But what did he say? What he said was very bad. He said, "Kiyims chatani etcha kasher yitulach wasisin imodi chesed v'skatani al paro v'tzisani abayis." That was one. But then he continued, "Kigunov gunafti mi beiso in the eretz oivrim v'gam polo asisim uma kisomo osi babor." So I was stolen away from the land of the Jews, and he says, "And I didn't do anything wrong over here either. They put me in the pit." You see, what's the mistake? The mistake is like this, and it's something really that a person should learn from. It's a very practical advice. If you tell a person, you go to a person and you tell them that, "Look, look what happened to me. I'm really such a fair guy, and this guy mistreated me, and that guy mistreated me, and look what happened, and now basically I'm in trouble. I'm a victim, in other words." You're telling the person that you're a victim. There are two effects that can happen. The first effect, of course, since a person has psychological chesed, we were discussing before, I said, "Wow, it's terrible. I really feel sorry for you. I feel his face." I'm sure the Sar Mashkin told you, I said, "Don't worry. I'll never forget what you did to me. I'm going to go to Parah first thing. Absolutely no question about it." But the truth of the matter is that there's another person who only thinks over things, another side of the coin. Walks away from the person 2 hours later, he's not under the emotional situation anymore, and he thinks to himself, "It's strange that all these things happen to this guy. This person, this happened, this one doesn't like him, that one doesn't like him. Put him in there. There must be a reason here. He's definitely a great chacham. He isn't, that's for sure. And who knows, maybe he's not even such a nice person. He's complaining that he's a victim. That was the mistake. You see. And you see, how do you see that was the mistake? How do you see that it had that effect on the Sar Mashkin? Of course, take a look later. When he told Paro, what did he say to Paro? He says, Paro was looking for somebody. He was in a dilemma. He couldn't find anybody. The dream was driving him crazy. He couldn't find anybody to satisfy him. So he says, "I had not by Sar Mashkin as far as Chatoi in the Maskeim." He didn't say the Mishmar. Oshu Vanachal Machalom Alay Lachod. The Shami Tano, he says, Nah Rivri. That's what's 30 years old. Nah, not just a Nah in age, but he's basically a Nah in general. Eved Lasara Tabacha. An Eved. Okay. So Chazal mentioned he degraded him. Why did he degrade him? For a simple reason. So why did he tell about him? The answer is he wanted to get the reward, that he wanted to be the hero, that he got Paro's dream interpreted. But he didn't want Paro to have any type of good feelings or really be impressed with Yosef. He can interpret dreams, but otherwise he's a fool, he's an evident, he has no other qualities. you see. But you want your dream interpreted. I'm telling you, he's going to. So you'll remember that I helped you in terms of your in terms of the dream. But it was totally for himself to remove everything from Yosef. Why did he say that though? I mean, just Tommy wanted to debase him. It wasn't because he wanted to debase him. That wasn't the only thing. The reason was because of what Yosef told him before he left. Guno Gunafti Beso Ivrim confided in him. He told him, he confided him, and that they mistreated me at home, and they were stolen from there. And over here, I didn't do anything that put me in the bar. So because of that, later, he thought it over. He says, yeah, there's a good reason for that. So that's why he said, Vishami Kananari Reelasad Tabach. It wasn't just he was trying to degrade him. I'm trying to degrade him. He gave him the ammunition. So what are the Torah teaching? The Torah teaches the person an interesting thing. That you don't confide. You don't. Faith is only in the Rabbanu Shlomo. A person can't look to another human being for that kind of support. Look what's happened to me. This, everybody was unjust to me, and this. That is a dangerous thing for a person to do something like that before a bus of Adam. As the bus of Adam walks away, at the time, yes, the time is very comforting, but he walks away and he starts doing exactly the opposite. He's not a victim. There's a reason why he is that way. So that's what it says. He forgot the pasuk. The pasuk is, what does it mean? What does it mean that you shouldn't believe in man? It doesn't mean you believe in man, that's remote. What it means is, that Yosef HaTzadik at that moment was in a moment of weakness. And he was looking for the support of the bus of Adon, that he should comfort him and take up his plight. And because of that moment of weakness, he made that misjudgment. And because of that, he stayed in the pit for two more years. You see, but you'll notice an interesting thing that Yosef HaTzadik, at that moment, he was saying that he's a victim, and he felt that people will have rachmanis for me when they realize I'm a victim. That was a mistake, as I said. It's an important lesson. It means if a person does that, he's denying really a kind of bottle. There's only one being that could know your plight. That's your bank problem. No one else. You can aspire to God for us, but not to bust about. Now you'll see, it's an interesting thing. What happened when they took him out of the bar? It says, Vayiritsu him in a bar. They rushed him out of the bar. What does it say? It says, Vayigalach, Vayachalef, Simrosa, Vayavo Apara. What does that mean? It means that he abandoned that mode of operation of the victim. If he would have continued with that mode of operation, on the contrary, take him out of the pit, I'll say, look, I'm disheveled, I'm not shaven, I don't have nice clothes, look what they did to me. Paro feels sorry when he shows him, when he interprets the dream, you see. So Paro will feel sorry, what an injustice, now I have to make it up to this man. Yeah, he abandoned that. He said, they rushed him out of the bar, said, just a minute, I'm going for Paro. He made sure that he walked in, he doesn't need anybody's rachmanis. And the truth of the matter is that mode of approach was the only one that led him to total success. And he learned from the last incident. Very tempting to turn to a bus of a dumb and ask him for justice. But that's not the way. If Yosef HaTzadik, and if he wouldn't have done this, he would have gotten that right away. Because if he wouldn't have lowered himself and told the Sar Mashmi he's a victim, he shouldn't have said anything. Who knows what he is? Nobody's business. But the Sar Mashmi was so impressed, he would have gone to power right away immediately. He would have gotten out. That's what Chazal said. That's what Chazal means. He would have gotten out because that was the diplomatic move to make, not to do anything. The moment he lowered himself and says, I'm a victim and people have been taking advantage of me, Then he lowered himself. He lost his whole esteem. He didn't have any respect. And that's why he corrected it when he went before. They rushed him at the parah. I'm sure they said, come quickly. The man just had a dream. The king is in a state of upheaval, emotional upheaval. He can't wait an extra minute. Let's go right away. No. I'm going. First, I'm going to have to be presentable. He walked into parah. Parah had a different impression of him. That's what he learned from the incident of the Hamashi. Yes. If he wouldn't have said anything, he would be an anonymous figure with a tremendous image. The moment he started to confide and he started to disclose the details of his troubles and how the people took advantage of him, he lost his whole image. That was a mistake. And why? Because it was a moment of weakness. That's what Chazal said. If he wouldn't have said anything, he would have gotten that right away. That's true also. See, that's why Chazal say, another thing that was bad was that he asked him for a favor. That was bad too. Because the moment you ask somebody for a favor, that means that's it. Oh, that's why he's doing it. He wants something. See, he wanted something from it. It took away, that is a very important point as well. That the moment he asked him for a favor, even if he would have said Kim Skatani at far, that would have been wrong also. Because the moment he would have done that, the moment he did that, it showed him, you see, oh, he wants something, he's after something. He would lose his image, his whole image, as an independent individual. The person loses respect the moment people see that he's dependent. That's why Chazal say that at Talmud Chacham, people have tremendous respect for Talmud Chacham. Until one minute, one moment destroys it. What is it? When he's nenef. As soon as a Talmud Chacham is nenef ma balabayas, as soon as he gets something out of him, that's it. Respect is gone. Why? That's the same thing over here. Because the moment the person shows that he's in need, and the whole self image is lost. That was a big mistake. Even to say Kim Shchataniyach would have been a terrible mistake. Was a terrible. That's right. The fact that he didn't come in as an Ares and Eved, that broke the whole what the Sarah Mashir is, or the Sarah Mashir stereotyped him, it broke it. He probably says, okay, he doesn't know what he's talking about. You simply disregard what the Sarah Mashir said. So what I want to show... What? So, the point I want to make is like this. That you could learn the pshat, that in a, so to speak, in a firm way, you know, that it's a gzera, that's it. But when you look into it, you see the definition of a gzera. A gzera doesn't mean what people think, that God simply makes a gzera, and that's it. You know, that's a very shallow way of looking at things, very shallow understanding. What gzera means that the gzera is because the person abandons the derech ha-chokhmah. Get around the table. The person abandons the derech ha-chokhmah. That's what a gzera means. That's the definition of a gzera. It's not a gzera that God is just punishes him. It's a shallow way. Maybe children need to teach the story that way. But that's not any kind of understanding. When you look into it, you see that the concept of a gzera is, gzera means the abandonment of chokhmah, of the derech ha-torah, basically. That's what it means. And the one who says it, the Rambam says it in Hilchos Deis. The Rambam says in Hilchos Deis an interesting thing. I mean, what could be a bigger gzera? If you'd ask me, what is the biggest gzera in the Torah? The worst gzera in the Torah? The Teichacha, right? Okay. So the Rambam says in Perikei Hilchos Deis Halacha Yiralef. He says, Derech Balei Deah, the way of intelligent people is, Sheikvalo Adam Malacha Amafarnesa Satchila. First he should work out a means of livelihood. V'achakach yikne beis dira. Afterwards he should buy a house. V'achakach yisra isha. Shenema, mi isha nata kar v'lo chilo, mi isha shabona bayis, mi isha she'eras isha. Avo, he says, ha'tipshu, the fools, maschilin yisra isha. First they get married. V'achakach im tinsa yodo yikne bayis. And afterwards, if it's possible, we'll buy a house. V'achakach besof yom av yachzo levake shumis. And afterwards, at the end of his life, he'll start looking around for panas. Oh, yes, panas man atzadok. Okay. Rambam says, V'cheinu omer beklolos. Isha ta'areis bayis tivne kerem pita. Says the reversed order. He says, kloma, yiyu maisecho hafuchim, kidei shelo tatzliach es levachach. Okay, Uba Bracha Omer, Vahidov Rukhol Rukhov Maskil Varashemi. So what does the Rambam say basically? The Rambam says that he's talking about the Tochra. He says, what is the Tochra? The Tochra is Shayu my Secha Apoch. That is the Tochra. The Tochra isn't simply Gzeris. I'm not saying that there's nothing there with Gzeris. But the worst Gzera in the Tochra is the Gzera that the person abandons the way of Chachma. I'm mentioning this for a reason, because see, the whole issue now became an issue whether the slogan of never again is a slogan that's in conformity with Torah, or is it not in conformity with Torah? Okay? It became a big issue recently. Okay? So why is it such a big issue? Because the question is, if I say never again, how can I say never again? It's Gzera. It's Gzera. So it's Gzera min haShamayim. It was a horrible Gzera. And Menah Shemayim, the Holocaust, a horrible Gzera, and that's it. Gzera Menah Shemayim. So say, how can you say never again? It's as if you're denying the Gzera. You're denying the Gzera. So what I'm telling you is like this: that's only if a person has a primitive notion with regard to Gzera. A person has a primitive notion with regard to Gzera, then in his mind it's against Torah. But the way the Rambam explains, and when you look deeper into Torah, what you see is that Gzera is not just God makes Gzera. It means because you abandon Torah, and because you abandon Chochma, your ways are going to be so distorted that that's going to lead you to catastrophic results. Catastrophic results. Okay? Let me give you an example. We just celebrated Hanukkah. Right? Neis took place. Neis HaMochama. Took place because of the Muhammad, right? Now, what would be if they wouldn't have gone to battle? It's possible people have free will. So therefore, if Klal Yisrael decided not to go to battle, so are you going to tell me that they would have had they would have retrieved the Middush? That sounds pretty wild. If that's the case, they wasted their time, wasted their efforts. Doesn't make any sense. So, and if they wouldn't have gone to battle, so it would have been a tragedy. So what would you say? That tragedy was a Gzera also? That tragedy was a Gzera? What do you mean it was a Gzera? How were they able to do it? Okay? So, to say that the Holocaust was a Gzera, and just write it off, it's a Gzera min HaShamayim, that's nonsense. That's nonsense. Gzera in the sense that because we abandon the ways of Torah, and because we abandon the ways of Chochmah, That's true. But a person can't just outright say that it was a Gzera, and therefore if I see something some way of correcting a defect, that I'm not allowed to say that I'm going to correct this defect, if that's clear. It's insanity. It doesn't make any sense. The only thing that would be clearer would be if a person would say never again, meaning that I'm not going to follow, I'm not following the ways of the Torah, and I can make sure that nothing can ever happen to Klal Yisrael. That's a crazy man. That's nonsense. That definitely is not what Rabbi Meir Kahana meant. That's definitely not what he meant. But the idea of seeking out a flaw and saying that there was a flaw there, if you hold that was a mistake, that there was a mistake there, a rational mistake, and you say that that was part of the klala, is there something against Torah and saying, mm-hmm. Why is there something against Torah? Only if you understand Gzera in a very primitive way, which is really against the whole understanding of Torah. So basically that idea is I would say another thing, though. I would say that if a person would say never again and would maintain that he can abandon Torah, but he's going to fight, and therefore the Holocaust would never happen again, I would say, perhaps you could say that if you react in that manner, what happened there wouldn't happen again, but other things could take place, because the moment you abandon the way of Torah and the way of Chachma, something has to be distorted, something has to be wrong. It's impossible to abandon the ways of Torah and have no catastrophe. That's impossible. But a particular flaw, a person has the right to say, I mean, that's a person. It's not clear if a person maintains that there was something that was done at that time that was wrong and was not done to Derech Chochma, and therefore we maintain that we were correcting. We maintain a correction on that particular. Insofar as that particular situation is concerned, there's nothing wrong with saying something. It is absolutely not clear. Yes. I'm not giving my personal opinion, but the point is that if we, let's assume that for a moment, you say that what they meant was that they were sheepish and they shouldn't have been sheepish. Okay? So if they weren't sheepish, you wouldn't have known. What is wrong with saying something? So what? Well, what harms us? What if a person say the reason why I had such a bad life was because I lived like a fool? I should never have gotten married before I had a job. So you say, no, it's Exeremon or Shemayim, what do you mean? is anything wrong with that? He says, his Maisim are Fukim, so he points to something which was Hafuch, and he says, I did a foolish thing, and that's why this occurred to me. So in terms of Klal Yisrael, it's also possible. It's also possible. We were foolish, we did a foolish thing, that's what the man is saying. We did a foolish thing, if we would have acted more intelligently, then this would never have happened. Okay? So there's nothing wrong with saying, why is that different than a Yachid? I don't see what the difference is. What is wrong with it? Why is that Kenegat HaTorah? It's only Kenegat HaTorah if you say that Klal Yisrael can be successful through a particular mode of action without Torah. That's the only time that it will be Kfirah. But it's not Kfirah if you don't deny Torah and you point to a specific thing that we did wrong. The truth of the matter is, if you maintain that, you would even say that the reason they did go like sheep is because they didn't follow the Derech HaChachma. And because they were removed from the Derech HaTorah and Derech HaChachma. So is that wrong? Is that fear? I can't see what kind of fear that ever stands for. So you certainly can't take away the right of a person to make an assessment? It's not fear at all. It's only fear if a person would say that if we assume a militant attitude, then that's all we need is to have a militant attitude. And then we're going to be successful. That's Kenegat HaTorah. Because the Torah would say, if you assume a militant attitude, so it could be you're not gonna have this tragedy. You have another tragedy, different kind of tragedy. You see? But the moment you abandon Chochmah, one tragedy or another is gonna befall you. That is Kenegat HaTorah. But as long as the person doesn't say that he is not for abandoning the system of Torah, and he doesn't maintain that you don't need Torah, and we should then simply assuming a certain attitude is our gula, and that's all we need. He's not a kofar. He's saying his opinion is that this was the flaw. Just like a person, just like a case of personal evaluation. This was the flaw. And he wants to correct it. And there's absolutely nothing wrong with that. Never mind not the cursus. There's no way you can say that what the man said was Kenegat Torah. There's absolutely nothing wrong. As a matter of fact, he's absolutely right. That's exactly what a person is supposed to do. Just like by Yosef HaTzadik. Same thing. You could say it was Exerim and Shemayim. 2 years, Exerim and Shemayim. It wasn't Exerim and Shemayim 2 years. It was Exerim and Shemayim because he didn't handle it properly. When you analyze the pasuk and you look into the sequence of events and you see what was wrong, the Torah is trying to teach you is to learn something, to derive something from this, to learn something that a person can apply in their personal lives, a very important idea, and you see why, because of that flaw, he suffered for 2 years. And that was the Exerim. Exerim was because of what he did, not the Exerim was Exerim, and extraneous Exerim and Shemayim. It's a very shallow way of understanding things. I mean, that's all right. You can't explain everybody in a high level. Young children have to understand the such things as Xero. But when a person gets older, he has to. That's not something deeper behind it. But there's absolutely nothing wrong with saying that we made a certain mistake in a certain situation, and we weren't rational about it. We didn't do the proper thing, and that's why this occurred. Our Cain boy let us our Zos. See, the only thing I say is like this. I say that the. You see, I say like this. I say that personally, everything stems. It should be emphasized. It should be emphasized that the catastrophe occurs to Klal Yisrael because of the fact that they abandoned the system of Chochmah and Torah. That's where it all stems from. It's not a particular attitude. You see, it's this attitude maybe correct, but the attitude alone, of course, the wrong attitude stems from the fact that Klal Yisrael abandoned the system of Chochmah. That's the source.
That's what it says about Rahavim, in other words.
The reason why, let me just make this one point clear. that the reason why Yosef HaTzadik did that, why did he make that mistake, was because he was looking for human comfort. That's what the Tirgim Rishami says, that he was over the Isser of being Misrachets and depending upon a bus, putting his faith in a bus of Adam. That's what the Tirgim Rishami says. What does it mean? It means he wanted that. He was looking for that. That's why he made that miscalculation. That's what the Tirgim Rishami is saying, basically. Tirgim Rishami is explaining to you why he made that mistake. So it was a political mistake. He was a political genius. Why did he make that mistake? Because he was looking for the comfort of a bus of Adam. He was in a low state, and he was looking for a comfort of a bus of Adam. And that's why he made that miscalculation. And then the last one, the Lozocha Samashmi says, Rishkacheu. So now Vayishkacheu, somebody says Vayishkacheu Chazav. Vayishkacheu is like a positive thing. What was the positive thing? Positive thing was he gave a different interpretation to the phenomenon. So Vayishkacheu Chazav Mashkim as Yosef means he's out of there. He's not involved anymore. But Vayishkacheu means that still what does he do with his personal obligation? Personal obligation? The answer was he gave a different series of a different type of answer for the problems of Yosef. You see? In other words, it's a different, what it means is like this really. If you look at the pasuk, it means like this. When a person is psychologically involved with another individual, somebody comes to you for help and pleads. So emotionally you're ready to answer. You want to help them out. You're in an emotional state. Then when the person leaves, what happens is like this. What happens is first is v'lo zocha. First you're removed from the emotional force that existed at the time. And now what do you have? Now you have the burdens. You have the burdens of this guy in your head because you promised him, you feel an obligation. So now it's a different tug of war. Now the tug of war is the obligations are very heavy, the emotions are very weak, and now all you need is another answer to explain the phenomena, and then it's Vayishkacheu. That's what I mean. Lo zocha sa'al ashmez Yosef, it means he was out of the emotional state. See? Out of the emotional state, it's a different conflict now. Vayishkacheu. He gave good reasons why Yosef is in that situation, and that's it. The reason why I made that point is we're just trying to show how Chazal deduced it from the Psukim, because they held that it was a political error, and therefore the only reason for the political error was that he had this weakness because of the situation. He gave in to this weakness. He was alone. And all these years, and he was in the dungeon, so therefore he was looking for some emotional support. And because of that, he made that error. That's how they know that it was that it was based upon the chait. At any rate, the Rambam is in Avos Perek Hamishi, and the Rambam before that, the one we left before we went into different areas, was the Rambam that dealt with the. He gave the various definitions, terms, of an Amoretz, a boor, an Amoretz, a Golem, a Chacham, and a Chassid. Those five. So we define those five. Okay. Well, the Rambam picks up on this point again later. He picks up on the point in the fifth parak, Mishnah Yadalit. He says like this. He says, Holche Beis HaMedrash. So they use the term chosid. Their person is, Holech va'oses chosid. First, when I go to the base mesh, I'm not going to go into the particular memo. We'll go into the memo when we get there later. I'm just interested in the commentary of the Rambam on that memo. So the Rambam is like this. He says, "Istakelech kara hamarba." It's in Yudalit. "Istakelech kara hamarba liknos hamaylos chosid v'mesatzel liknos rasha." The person that he says you should observe the fact that the Chazal call a person who tries to be kona. He tries to be kona the true perfection is considered a chassid. A person is lazy, who doesn't really, lazy over here means not so much laziness in terms of time, but it means laziness in terms, it's a qualitative kind of laziness. It's not a, it's not, a person can be lazy in terms of expenditure of energy. So he's lazy, he has to chop wood. So then he does the physical performance, so he's energetic. But this is a different kind of a laziness. It's a laziness that has to do with the inability to overcome or to direct his psychic energies. It's a different kind of laziness. It's a qualitative laziness. It's a person who doesn't direct his psychic energies towards the good, but he allows himself to remain in his comfortable, in his own comfortable lifestyle, his own comfortable emotions. He can't uproot his emotions. He doesn't have the ability to go against his emotions. That's what he calls nasatzel. That's what he means by lazy. But it's a certain type of laziness. It doesn't mean he's actually physically lazy. It could be a very, very energetic person. But it means he's lazy insofar as this, the ability to go in conflict with his emotions and to try to gain perfection. So he says like this. He says, when you understand the idea of intellectual perfection and perfection of one's characteristics, the midos, and you'll know every species of them, and you'll know what I mean. If you know what he said before, that the person should always be the golden mean. Person should always be in the intermediary stage with regard to his taivas, with regard to his enjoyments. So he says like this. He says, and you'll understand like this. You understand that there are two sides to every emotion, and that either side is evil. And he says, but there's a difference between these two sides. He says, one of them is called evil, and one of them is called chet, or an action that's not really correct. Because the word chet comes from the lachtos amatari, it means to fail. So one case he calls the person a chote means he's a failure. But ra means he's evil. So he says like this. He says, for example, that a person who removes himself from indulgence in physical pleasures. So he says, that's good. That's called zehirus. He says, and there's no question about it that a person that indulges fully in his taivas, in his physical desires, and in the instinctual life, person that's steeped in the instinctual life, there's no question about that's called ra. That's called evil. He says, but heder ha'agasha, ba'no, a person who is so far removed that he has no enjoyments of the physical at all, he doesn't allow himself to enjoy anything which is of an instinctual nature at all, he says, that is called, he says, even though that's bad, he says, but it's not like a person that indulges in the instinctual. So you have two extremes. But the extreme in which a person is removed from physical enjoyment, which is also no good, is not good, but it's not evil. Evil is where he indulges completely in the instinctual. That's evil. So he says, that's called a chote, a sinner. Or an action which is incorrect. He means to say by sinner, he doesn't want to convey the idea of a sinner. You know, he means it's incorrect. It's an incorrect action. Vayitziyam min aziris ma'at latzad heder ha'agoshim and aroy l'shleimim. He says, okay, so the Rambam explained already that a person that's directly in between, that's a chacham. He's directly in between. His mind determines when he should partake of enjoyments, when he shouldn't, and he works out, he's in between. Enjoyments, and he controls himself. That's the chacham. That's a chacham. But a chassid is a person who goes a little bit to the side, a little bit more to the side of removal from the instinctual. Okay, and we explained that, well, why that is, because he does it, he forfeits. In other words, a person that's a chacham is the one that has total psychologically. He's perfected psychological perfection. So he lives a perfectly balanced psychological life. But the chassid has to give up some psychological enjoyment, because since he's after perfection, the nature of man is that he's going to be drawn to various emotions depending on the person. So he's careful. He has to forfeit psychological pleasure in order that his energy should never be drawn too much to the instinctual so that he could direct them into the world of knowledge and the world of chacham. So he has to forfeit a little bit of the psychological, but not too much. In other words, if he does it to too great an extent, it shows you that he's that this is what he thinks the good is. The good is the avoidance of pleasure. And that's a chote. That's completely wrong. Okay? This is what the Rambam explained already before. Now he says like this. He says, that's why a nazir is called a chote, because the nazir went too far. He didn't allow himself to enjoy any wine at all. And this is not good either. Okay. So he says, and if you understand everything that we explained before, you'll know who should be called a boor. A boor is a person that is desolate. He doesn't have any. He doesn't have any kind of perfection in terms of midos, in terms of traits, character traits. And then a person is an amoritz. An amoritz is a very nice person, a person who has fine characteristics, a fine individual, but he's not a chacham. He's not a person who's guided. Whose life is motivated by chokhmah, life is motivated by knowledge. That's the amoritz. And a golem is a person that has both. He has good midos, and he also has a good intellect, a good mind. But the two are not working together, not working in unison. It's not one entity. So he's still a golem. A chokhmah is one who uses his intellect to reflect upon the upon his emotional life, and he's in total control. He's in total control. That's the chacham. He says, and then you'll understand who should be called a rasha. A rasha is the person who is completely indulges in the instinctual. He's driven by the instinctual. That's the rasha. Okay, and a chassid. A chassid is the opposite. That all his energies are directed towards the good, towards all his energies directed towards one thing, the chassid, Yedias Hashem. He wants to understand. He's drawn towards Yedias Hashem. He knows that there's another reality besides the physical reality, and all his strivings and all his energies are directed towards uncovering that reality. That is the chassid. That's the highest level. Okay. So we explained all this before, but now he says like this. And also he says a chote. Okay, so you have seven terms, he says, which fall upon seven people, which in other words, which define seven different individuals. Okay, according to their milus and according to their perfection and according to their imperfection. Okay. Now he says like this. Now he goes on to something which presents a problem. He says like this. He says, and they also created terms. Chazal also created terms. According to the, he says in Yoneish, according to the characteristics, it should be. Characteristics of a person. He who lacks certain midos, and he's considered a Rasha, as we explained. Now he says like this. He says, if the Rasha has intellectual capabilities, okay, which he uses for evil, so the Chachamim call such a person a Rasha Aram. Rasha Aram. Rasha Aram means a cunning Rasha. Okay. The India Russia mazik with me. I mean, if this Russia will do harmful things to people because of his defects of his characteristics, in a way that he harms individuals, like he's an achzor, he's vicious, and similar kind of things, he's called a Russia Ra, a bad Russia, an evil Russia. Okay. Then he says, and also a person that has intellectual capabilities and bad characteristics, where he harms people, he's called a chacham lahara, a wise person to do evil. It sounds almost like the same thing as the previous one. Kimo she'omah pasuk, like the pasuk says, The Pasuk says, Chachomim heim olahora ulehetiv lo yado. They're very wise when it comes to doing evil, but when it comes to doing good, they don't know how to do it. All right? So it means to say that they use their intellect, they direct their intellect in order to accomplish evil. Okay? And not good. Not their intellect is not used for good. And then he says, but a person who has all the milas, he has intellectual perfection, and he has the and he has also perfection of the nidos, of the traits, the characteristics. So he says, till he reaches the point that he doesn't, that there's nothing lacking in him at all. He doesn't lack in terms of his perfection and his character, and he doesn't lack in terms of his perfection and his intellect. He says, and that this is a very rare thing. Very rare thing that such a thing, and you should have such a person. It says, the philosophers say that the nature of man is such that this is very rare, very far-fetched. But he says, it's not impossible. It's not impossible. He says, And when they find such an individual, in other words, for such an individual, they call him an Ish Holoki. Ish Holoki. The philosophers call such a person an Ish Holoki. Ish Holoki. Okay. A godly person. The Chen Yikri Bol Shomeinu, and also in our Lashon, in the Lashon of the Torah, such a person is called an Ish Holoki. An Ish Holoki. So such an individual we have. Eliyahu HaNavi was referred to as an Ish Elokim. Elisha was referred to as an Ish Elokim. Remember the Isha Shunamis that Elisha used to come by. So she said, Hinei Ish Elokim over Elena Tomit. So this is referred to as an Ish Elokim. And the Rambam says, V'omar ani, and I say, that such a person is called a Malach Hashem. Malach Hashem, he says, just like the Pasuk says, Vayal Malach Hashem in Agilro. Pasuk says in Shoftim that the after Yeshua passed away, so the Malach Vayal Malach Hashem in Agilro, the Malach Hashem came and he rounded up the Jews and he gave them Musa. So he says, what is it? So the Pasuk calls him Malach Hashem. He says, that's what the Torah means by Malach Hashem. And he goes on, he says, the philosophers say also that it's very rare that a person should not have any qualities. In other words, he should be totally evil in terms of his characteristics, and also not have the intellectual, not have any intellectual capabilities. Until you find an individual that has nothing, he's like he doesn't have any intellectual abilities, and he doesn't have either. Neither does he have any good character traits. He says, and when they find such an individual, let's say but they say it's not impossible to find such an individual. He says very, very rare. Just like it's very rare to have the most perfected individual, it's very rare to have the most evil. He says, but when to such a person, they call him a chaya, some kind of an animal. They liken him to an animal, like the bad animal that's mazik, that destroys. He says, and Shlomo HaMelech called him a dove shekel. Dove shekel. Dove shekel means a bear that has lost a mother bear that has lost her cubs. Because the mother bear has a very strong attachment to the cubs. Every hunter knows you don't get between a mother bear and a cub. So a mother bear that loses the cubs, is like a wild, aggressive force. Release of a wild bear. Okay, that's what they call it. That's what I'll call it. Because this individual contains in himself destructive. Alright? And these five terms are Shemos Mokovim. Shemos Mokovim means they're modified nouns. Shem Mokov. Schambucher. Modified nouns. Russia with a modification. He says, four of them are lignai. Four of them are lignai means that it's defective. We speak about them disparagingly. Four of them. He says, and these are Russia Arum, the cunning Russia, Russia Ra, is the bad Russia, the Chacham Lahara, he who is wise to do evil, and the wild bear. He says, and one of them we praise, and we speak about this person's greatness, and there is nothing greater than him, and that is the Ish HaLakim, or the Malach Hashem. He says, and the Pasuk already explained that a person that has the total qualities of perfection of the midos plus perfection of the intellect, he says the Pasuk called this person the Malach Hashem, and that's in the Pasuk that says, Sifsei Kohen Yishmeru Das, the Torah Yevakshu Mipiyu Ki Malach Hashem Tzvakosu. So the Pasuk says that the lips of the Kohen guard knowledge, and they will seek Torah from him, seek knowledge from him. Why? Because he's Malach Hashem Tzvakos. He says, now when it says Das, Sifsei Kohen Yishmeru Das, so it's referring to the fact that he's perfected in terms of his intellect. He says, because he cannot, there's no perfection unless he has that first, unless he has that. And it says, the Torah of Akshu Mepiyu, why does it say that they will seek knowledge from him? Raya al Shleimuso b'maylo samidos. See, when it says Torah of Akshu Mepiyu, it doesn't mean Torah to learn a piece of Gemara. Apparently, Torah means a whole way of life. So Torah of Akshu Mepiyu means that people search for this individual to gain a whole way of life from him. He says, so you see that he has perfection of the midos. He says, and then it says, and the pasuk says, as we explained, because it says, because that's Kimash Biyana Perk Shvi, Shazel Kavana Satoro, Velazama Vachol Nasivosea Shalom. Kvar Biyana Gamkin Shasholom Humimalos Amidos. It means Shalom is the ultimate perfection. And the Pasuk says, Ki Malach Hashem Tzvakosu. You see, this is referring to the Malach Hashem. That's the Pasuk of Sefer Kohen Yishmeru. Okay. What's difficult in the Rambam? What's difficult in the Rambam is, he defines these seven terms. And it would seem that in the seven terms, everybody's included. All right? So might not be so difficult. He expands on the Russia. Different types of Russia. Okay, fine. He expands on the Russia. But what's difficult in the Rambam is, this new Ish HaLakim that the Rambam discovered. All right? The Ish HaLakim seems to be the same thing as who? As the Chassid. What is it? The Rambam suddenly comes up with this Ish HaLakim. Ish HaLakim is the same thing as the Chassid. What's the difference between Ish HaLakim and the Chassid? You understand what I mean? It's very troubling when you read the Rambam. Because you can't have a repetition here. The Rambam, okay, so Rush, I understand, he expands on different types of Rishayim. That makes sense. But who is this Ish HaLakim? The same thing as the Chassid? Apparently, to the Rambam, hell, there's a difference between the Chassid and the Ish HaLakim. It's impossible. Because the Rambam himself says in his Agdama that what is the Chassid? The Chassid is he who directs all his energies to Yediyas Hashem. That's his only thing he has, the only thing he's searching for in life is knowledge of God. That's Derech HaLakim. That's the highest level. He's searching, he's always in the endless process of searching. He'll never get finished with his search. He's always searching for God. He's searching and he's constantly drawing himself closer and closer, and he's involved in an infinite process. Okay, that's the, and the Rambam says such a person, as a matter of fact, such a person is like an Avi. He's like an Avi. So what's the Ish HaLakim? What's the issue? Ish HaLakim is the same thing. It's a very disturbing possible. It's impossible the Rambam should add five terms. One of them is a repetition of the previous seven in the same breath. Same exact parak he has it. Okay? That's right. And the Rambam places him in juxtaposition to who? To the Russia, the absolute Russia. The absolute Russia. An interesting thing. The question, of course, is what is this new classification? And here he has the wild bear, which he doesn't have before. But with the dove shekel, he doesn't have before the wild bear. Where's the wild bear before? Is there a boar? I mean, what is going on in these five tens? All right? It's interesting. Wasn't seen in Rasha Orem and the Chacham Lahara. Okay? There's only one of them that Chazal really elaborate on. It's Gemara and Sota. The one that Chazal really elaborate on is the Rasha Orem. The Rasha Orem. It's interesting. Rasha. What is a Rasha Orem? Let's take a look. So Gemara is in Sota that Chafal from Beis. Interesting Gemara. Gemara says, Ani Chachma Shachanti Ama, Kivan Shenichnesa Chachma Ba'adam, Nichnesa Bo'am Mumius. That the Gemara says, Pasuk and Mishle says, Ani Chachma Shachanti Orma, it means that the moment the person gains Chachma, so he gains cunning. The element of cunning enters into his personality. Which the Gemara doesn't mean it here in a flattering sense. Okay, the Gemara says that for certain people, that Chachma could be a catastrophe, because it can lead to Orma. Now, then the Gemara says, this is a beautiful Chazal. The Gemara says, The divrei Torah not miskayim, only in a person that makes himself like nothing. That chokma will come from me'ayin, from nothing. Mina osi ka'ayin, Rashi says. So you have to understand, what does it mean, any divrei Torah miskayim? What does it mean? He's not going to forget his Torah. That's not true. A person has photographic memory, and he learns Torah, and he doesn't make himself Kayan. He's haughty. It's possible. It's possible to have Torah and be haughty. We know that that's possible. Because I'll talk about such people, so such a thing must be possible. So if that's the case, so what does it mean? What does it mean he won't be Miskayan? Won't be Miskayan. He'll forget it? No, he's a Bucky B'Shas. He has a fantastic memory. He knows every Gemara. He asks him every Tesis. He knows every Rambam. Tremendous photograph memory. But it's an ain't different term as Skyman. What does it mean as Skyman? Skyman does not mean that Skyman doesn't mean he remembers it. See, Kiyum means support, sustenance. It means to say that there's two types of learning Torah. Is a Torah which a person has an external acquisition of knowledge, and is a Torah which is a part of his, which sustains his personality. It's a different kind of Torah. Ain divitam eskaimen, it means that the Torah gives him a kiyum. It gives him sustenance. It says that's only for a person that makes himself ka'ayim, that makes himself like nothing. But he has no concern about he has no concern, he has no consideration about anything else except the knowledge of Torah. It's like this. Rashi says, the Gemara says, a person that makes himself naked because of them. So Rashi says it wasn't being naked. Rashi says tupshatim. Shapirish mikol asakim. That he draws himself away from all involvements, and he becomes poor and destitute of everything. It means to say, it doesn't mean to say that he has to actually lose all his money, but it means to say that his involvement is such, to such a degree, that he has no concern even for the physical. No concern. What? Rishna Achrina, Shemesa Matzma Oromalea, Shemarim Shiyaskayim Tarasa, Likbots Al Yad Velumo Mikolada. He says that he's Marim, and he's cunning. Likbots Al Yad means to gather. He has a love for Torah, knowledge. So he gathers, and he's lo made mikoladam. He learns from every individual. He's not a type of person. Most people, they'll accept certain authority figures. Except this person, except that authority figure. When it comes to somebody that's not to his liking, he can't even admit that this person has anything of value or anything of knowledge. Anything that's valuable. Because that's not a person that's mesim atzmo orem aleihem. Aram means that he's lo made mikol adam. It means even if it's an individual that he doesn't fit into his categorization, his mindset as being a the correct person to learn from. Not a person that emotionally can accept. But if he sees a word of chokhmah from that individual, he gathers it in. He gathers it and he takes it. That's what Chazal says. That's what Rashi says. Okay. Now, it means he's not tied to any kind of images. People are tied to images. I can learn from this person. Yes, this person I can't learn from. So anything that he sees that's valuable, he rejects it. That might be what he's saying is true. No, I can't. That person can't learn from. He has certain images that he's willing to subordinate himself to certain images, but he can't. But the image that he dislikes, he can't find anything good in that image. That's the opposite of the individual who is Mason Maimonatzmal or Malahal. Okay. And the Gemara goes on, what's like this? Gemara says, this is based on the mission. Chosichota. Gun the Katova Itzabanara Va'oma Lavarach Aralis Takuli Bavatsula. Okay? So the Gemara says, what is a Chosichota? That a woman is drowning in the river. And he says it's not proper to go save her, because you're not allowed to look at her and say, Nagia, I can't do it. So that's a chosichaita. Taisa says he saw a child, the person in Shami says. The person sees a child drowning in the river, he says, let me take off my tefillin first and then I'll go save him. The time he gets his tefillin off, the child died. So what does it mean? What kind of a person is that? It means a person that's attached emotionally to the trappings of religiosity, of Frumkeit. And he's attached emotionally to Frumkeit, and he can't, he's uncomfortable. If you remove that from him, he can't survive. He can't tolerate it. His personality derives sustenance from a certain type of emotional attachment, but it's not an attachment to Chochmah. So Chazal called it a chosid shota. Today in Israel, you have such a nesayim that the people have gas masks and they have beards. So if a person can't remove his beard in order to use a gas mask, which is pekuach nefesh, that's a modern example of a chosid shota. Means he's attached to the idea of having a beard. Must have the beard. Gives him a certain security, a certain emotional security. And without the beard, he doesn't feel he's religious anymore. So he can't part with his beard. So that's the same kind of thing. That's a chassid shot. I'll be there. I mean, he's mischayev benafsho because it's a konas nefashos. He's mechuyev to remove it, and he doesn't want it. The same thing is like the tina, except over here it's about himself. Doesn't make a difference. Okay, and the Gemara says, "Eichi dami Russia arum." What does it mean, a cunning Russia? Okay, it's the only one really that you find the Chazal elaborate on. Omar b'Yochanan zeh matim devar of l'dayin kodem shi'eva baldin chavera. He's a clever fellow. He has to go to a din Torah, so what does he do? So before he goes to the din Torah, he goes over to the dayin and he starts talking to him, explaining his case. You know what I mean? But explaining his case, but matim devar. He does it in a way where he tries to win over the baldin psychologically. Emotionally, that the Baal Din should be predisposed in his favor. You see, so that when he comes to the Din Torah, the Baal Din already has favorable feelings towards him. He feels surely more secure that he's going to win his case. See, Matin Devarav, because people do this all the time. Okay. You have to be very sensitive towards this kind of thing. Because it's not an overt thing. A person going to Din Torah, he has to tell the Dayan what it's about. But how he tells him what it's about. Sneaks in a little thing like, after all, I'm an honest guy, and this guy's taking advantage of me. I mean, should know in advance. But at any rate, the Avorom Ezeh Anosin Dinir La'oni L'Hashlum L'Masayim Zutz. So you know, an Oni, once he has a certain amount of money, he's not an Oni anymore. So this person, now an Oni can't take from the fields. He can't take from the Leket Shikhan Peah. An Oni can't. If he has $200, he can't. If he has the 200 zuz, he can't take from the like a chick on payer. He's disqualified. Alright? So a person has relatives. that are poor relatives. So the field, you have like a chick on payer in the field, and he doesn't want that his relatives should have competition. So he knows there's an aggressive Oni, So he goes over and he gives him some money, so he should be disqualified. So he reaches the point of disqualification. Now he's out of the picture, and his relatives come right in and sweep up the field. So that's a Russia Arab. Cunning. Okay. Ravasi Amar Rabbi Yochanan has another case. Says Zeh Amesi Eitzel Limkor Ben Achasim Muatim. What does it mean? It means, because Allah says, if a person dies and he leaves sons and daughters, so the Allah is like this. The Allah is when an Achasim Amar Reuben, when there's a large estate that's left over, so the sons Yashin, as you know, of Yerusha, and the daughters are supported from the Nechasim. They're supported, have to be supported from the Nechasim. Okay? From the estate. But if the Nechasim are mu'atin, so if there's not a large estate, so then the halacha is, on the contrary, the daughters are supported by the estate. And the sons have to go and, unfortunately, be shalala psachim, live on stakam. That's the halacha. That's the halacha. So a Rasha is like this. So what does the Rasha Aram do? He's Macy Eitz Alimkar Ben Achasim Mu'atim. He tells the Yisomim to sell. Because the halach is, if the Yisomim do go ahead and they sell, so then that's it. Masha Machar Machar. Because in reality, they own the Nechasim. So therefore, the sons own the Nechasim. So if they don't do anything, the halach is that the estate is really for the daughters. Daughters are sustained by the estate, and the sons have to go out and ask for tzedakah. But the nechasim basically belong to the Yerusha, really is to the sons. So Rasha Aram, as he tells these people, he says, look, what are you going around asking for tzedakah? You sell it. It's really yours. Halachically, it's yours. And then you get the money and goodbye. And there's no more estate to support the daughters. So he gives the assumption an etzah. All right? A similar case. The Gemara says, if a person leaves over his nechasim, the person, we're not going to go into the case too extensively, the case in Mezigin. But a person leaves over an estate, and he says like this. He says, he leaves it over first to A, and then he says, after A, he leaves it over to B. Now what happens if A is a very smart person? He says, he left it over to me. I'll sell it. There's nothing left for B. So halacha is that it's true. If he sold it, it's goodbye. B gets nothing. But a person that goes over and gives this advice to A is considered a Rasha Aram. A Rasha Aram. Why? Because injustice, the halacha, certain things are a matter of halacha. Halacha tefillin, how you put on tefillin, it's a matter of halacha. Put on tefillin on your left arm, over here, and between your eyes. It's very specific halacha. And that's the essence of the halacha. But when it comes to justice, as you know, injustice, really what the Torah is trying to do is the Torah is trying to teach the concept of justice. And the halacha goes out of its way to create a system in which justice will prevail. But nevertheless, it's impossible. It's impossible to really create total justice from halacha alone. It's impossible. Because halacha is totally rational. And it's a rational system. So the system is such that it's of course Chachmas Hashem, it's God's Chachma, created a system that everything should be run purely according to ideas and to concepts, and there's an inherent limit with concepts, with conceptual structures. There's an inherent limitation that you reach a point where all the conceptual structures still can't prevent injustice. It's an impossibility. Halacha goes as far as it could go. The Rechadach and the Torah tries as best as it can to institute justice among people with halacha, with an extensive Shulchan Aruch. But the most extensive Shulchan Aruch cannot really ensure justice. It's impossible. It's with the greatest system. The Torah is the greatest system ever devised or devisable. But nevertheless, there are certain limitations. And limitations stem from the fact that the halacha has to be a totally rational conceptual system. Can't be anything less. It must be complete chachma. And since it must be complete chachma, it can't just arbitrarily do patchwork. It has to run on a system of knowledge. And therefore, there will be cases where injustice will prevail, even in the greater system, even in God's system. It's impossible. There the Torah relies on the individual, on the individual's recognition of justice, of what is just. And if the person refuses, he could use Arminius, he can go around the halacha and be unjust. So that's called the Rosh Aharon. That's the Rosh Aharon. That's this case of Rosh Aharon. Then you have another case. Okay. Then the Gemara says that's the case in Din Hamonos. See? Says Tirdof, of course. The whole Torah, that's why the Gemara says a person we try not to use din. We try not to use din. Why? Why do we try not to use din in the din Torah? We try to use pshara. What's wrong with din? Yikav adam din, we respect halacha. No one could possibly have more respect for law than Klal Yisrael. Because halacha, the greatest thing. But when it comes to din Torah, we try pshara. Pshara comes first. Pshara means you forfeit your din. Because over here, the whole purpose of the din is really to cause people who live b'shalom, with Ahva, with Reus. So therefore, that's the purpose of the din. So we try to avoid din. We try to avoid din. Try to work with justice. Okay. So that's the legis. So another case like this. Rav Yosef Bachom Amar Sheshis Zeh Machriya Acherim Barachosa. Interesting. What does it mean? So Rashi explains. It means a person that sets himself up as the ultimate model of perfection. Okay? He says, Rashi says, Re'u v'asu kamoni, v'lechu b'drachai. He says, follow me, go on my ways. Lo nischavin ze ala laharos atzmo kachosid b'ni abrios. This person only wants to establish himself as a chosid in the eyes of people, he says. Ve'ein telcho kabaro. He is not internally as he appears externally. Ela shelo yedaktiku acharav livdok b'toav osof. He says, his purpose is they shouldn't investigate him. It means what we would call today, in many cases, a charismatic leader. That's what it means. It means a person that sets himself up as a model and a leader, and he is not really a reflection of ideas. He doesn't, his purpose is not to reflect ideas, but his purpose is to draw attention to his own character. So people should respect him and follow him, follow his ways, and they should be influenced by the fact that he is a great leader. And it's considered arma. Why is it considered arma? Because really what he's trying to do is he's trying to hide his own imperfections. That's what that's what Chazal said. What today, the things in the world that are respected are by Chazal usually degraded. So what the world conceives of as a great charismatic leader in the eyes of Chazal is a Rosh Aharon. Interesting. Okay. Interesting contrast. Anyway, so it's like this. But the answer is very simple. The answer is because the world is looking for what they consider to be success, not truth. So successful, if a person is a great leader, that's a successful person. Leadership is really just another category of success. There's success in business, there's success in a profession, there's success in leadership. It's not the reflection of the ideas, it's the success of the individual. That's really why, that's called the Rosh Aharon. If he's a great businessman, he doesn't have to be an arm. He's not saying he's a tzaddik. He's a big businessman. He's a very wealthy individual. That's his profession. But if he sets himself up as a tzaddik, l'chu v'asu kamoni, follow my ways, which means to say that he wants people to believe that what he does is really, that is perfection. What he personally does, it should be attached to his personality. You see? That's the Rosh Aharon. That's a Rosh Aharon. Amazing Chazal. Okay. Then he's like this. Rabbi Zrika Amar Avuna Zehameka La'atzmo U'machmer L'acherem. Hameka La'atzmo U'machmer L'acherem. It means that when somebody asks him a shayla, so he's very stringent. He's very stringent to me. After all, there's halacha. We can't fool around it. But when it comes to himself, privately, no. Hameka L'acherem. So where is the arma? Where's the arma? Where's the cunning? Where's the slyness? Where's the slyness? What's the answer? The cunning is the the cunning is the fact that he appears like a machmer. He appears like a machmer. Appears like a machmer. Of course, on the other guy's question. Yeah. Okay. Ula says like this. Ula had a different approach. He says, Zeh shekora v'shono v'lo shimesh talmid ha-chacham. So Rashi says, he says, he learned, he has a lot of knowledge, kara mikra, shana mishnah, v'lo shimesh talmid ha-chacham, according to Rashi, doesn't mean he didn't serve talmid ha-chacham, literally. It means he never learned, talmid ha-mishnah. See, in those days, the study was mishnah. Today, of course, it's Gemara and Rishonim and Achronim. But in those days, the leading was mishnah alone. That's talking about Amorayim. Amorayim was mishnah. So he says, so why is he considered a Rasha? He says, Shein Torah so al Buryo. He says, he really doesn't understand Torah. Vein lo morimeno. Shal yadea taimim yesh chilik b'esu v'hetta b'dinim momen esun zakos alachaya v'tar satan avtar. He says, my tie, like the Gemara says in many places, my tie, mama marachi, umarachi, vama, my beinayu, the Gemara says, what's the difference between this pshat and that pshat? Igbenai kach v'kach. V'oramu, why is he considered cunning? He says, he's considered cunning, shashomeas kolo, shona mishnayosov, kesavu shaboki betameyan, the noogin bo kova ketamide chachon. He says, in other words, the person is a big bucky, he has a lot of knowledge. He's a bucky, but he's not a theoretical person. He's not a deep thinker. So what he does is, he throws around his bakiyas to impress people. Doesn't have to be the only time of the Gemara. He's just so old. It means to say, a person that throws around his bakiyas to demonstrate to the Amon Am how much knowledge he has. Yes, that's a Gemara over there. This is a Gemara over there. So he impresses people, and the truth of the matter is, he doesn't understand the Gemara. He doesn't really have knowledge of the Gemara. So he doesn't have knowledge of the Gemara. And if a person doesn't have knowledge of the Svara, doesn't understand the in-depth analysis of the Gemara, so you can't learn from him. And he appears like a Talmud Chacham, because the Hamon don't know. Hamon don't know. That's why I think I want to mention, Abdullah Leibowitz was a friend of Levracha. He was Rashi Chavetz Chaim Kiel. So he was a very deep thinker, but he had a very poor memory. So, but he was a genius. He was a real genius in Svara. So, he said, so he wasn't too popular. He wasn't too popular. Even though he was a brilliant mind, but he wasn't very popular. But people who were Bakiyim, who had a lot of knowledge, would throw around a lot of Gemaras, so they would have a large, very large following. So somebody asked them once, they said, look, they said, one of the Talmidim asked me, said, I don't understand, you're such a great mind, and you sit and learn by you, and you see such beautiful ideas. How come everybody runs to the Bakiyim? Somebody came years ago from Europe, somebody comes, the Bucky, crowds would surround them, you know. And Reb David sat there alone, if he told me to. So he said, I'll tell you why. The reason is very simple, he said. He says, in order to understand Svara, you have to be amazing. You have to know what learning is. It's not an easy thing. What's a good Svara? What's a bad Svara? Anybody can say a Svara. Everybody says a Svara. Does anybody know what's a good Svara? What's a bad Svara? Only a person who spent years studying Torah and understanding what a Svara is supposed to sound like, he could be a maven on a Svara. He says, so you have a very select group that are mavinim on Svara. He says, but Bakiyas? Anybody can be a maven on Bakiyas. He throws out the Gemara. The Gemara left. That's it. So he says that's why we have such a Gemara. But that's the phenomenon. In other words, that's the Gemara means. Gemara means he's a Rasha Aron because he poses as a great Chacham and he is. Okay. Then the Gemara says like this. The Gemara goes on. It's an interesting Gemara. It's Kedai to go a little further than Gemara says. The Gemara says, the Gemara takes off on this last point. Kora v'shana v'lo shimesh talmid ha-chacham. If a person learned Torah, learned Mikra, learned Mishnah, but he didn't learn Svara, the Gemara says, Rebelaza al-Mahareza amor. Allah says such a person is an ignoramus. What does it mean he's an ignoramus? I mean, what is the Gemara telling you? Of course he's an ignoramus. He doesn't understand Svara, we just said before, so he's ignorant. So what is the Gemara telling you? Interesting Gemara. The Gemara says, Shechoshir ala maisreis vala tahiris. Amazing Gemara. The Gemara says, even though this man knows, has tremendous bakiyas, but I wouldn't trust him with maisreis. I wouldn't trust him with Tyrus. But then, why wouldn't you trust him? What he doesn't know the facts? Why can't, what do you mean, crush all Mises at Tyrus? Gemara says, not Morris, it's crush all Mises. What does it have to do with the fact that he doesn't know Svara? What does it have to do with it? It's an amazing Gemara. What does the Gemara mean? The Gemara means that there's only one thing that attaches a person to the halacha, and that's Svara. It means that a person doesn't know Svara, so he doesn't even have a proper attachment to the halacha. Therefore, you can't even trust him with regard to halachas in his house. An amazing Gemara. Amazing Gemara. It means that in order for a person to keep halacha, there has to be some kind of attachment.